It is God who gives me power to get wealth, to get wealth. It is God who gives me power to get wealth. God who gives me power to get wealth, to get wealth. It is God who gives me power to get wealth. There's one way that we can be in financial covenant with God. Say financial covenant.
Financial covenant.
Does that matter?
Yes.
Yeah, because then we have him on our side. What if we're not doing that? Well, then I guess it's up to him whether he feels like it or not, right? But if you're in covenant with somebody, then it's not about whether you feel like it or not. It's part of a contract. It's part of a, say contract.
Contract.
It's a contract. Just as good as any contract, probably better than any contract, right? Because
yes.
It's with God and his word. So anyway, I have a little something to share here. I hope you don't mind. If you'd turn with me to Galatians. All right, let's pray. Holy Ghost, I thank you that you are God in the earth today and we can know you and walk with you. I worship you. I thank you for what you're doing in these people's lives, the people here, the people online, changing them and helping them to walk with you as God in the earth today and blessing them in particular, prospering them right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, retirement money. Have you heard about that? Have you heard about that? Retirement money. Now, when you talk about retirement money, you know, sometimes you'll see advertisements on the television. If you watch the television, you know, they'll talk about, well, you got to have this much to last this long. Mm-hmm. Are you here?
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about? Oh, and you don't have enough to last that long, is what they'll tell you, right? And so you got to have, and really what it means is the more, you have to have a certain amount, say a certain amount. To live a certain amount of time and in a certain amount of lifestyle,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
If you had a lot of money, then you could live a longer amount of time and a longer and better lifestyle.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? I mean, it's not too difficult, but when people retire, they want to have a nest egg or a certain amount of money in order to be able to live a long, say, live a long time, right? And in a means which they want to live. Nobody wants to live, you know, on the side of the road in a shack for 35 years. Nobody wants to do that. You understand? So you've heard about this retirement money. Now, everlasting life. What is it like when we get to heaven? What kind of money do you think you're going to need? You think you're going to get to the front door and they're going to say, well, you can only stay here a certain amount of time because you've only got a certain amount of money to live this way for that long.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the way it's going to be?
No.
So somehow, you know, you could call it the great retirement in the sky. Are you here? But somehow it's got to be provided for that you can live a long, is everlasting life a long time?
Yes.
That's a very long time. So there must be, are you here? I'm just trying to get you to follow a certain amount of logic that in heaven, everlasting life must include, say must include,
include.
Provision, financial provision for you to live that long.
Mm-hmm.
How much would that be? Well, if you're considering retirement amounts, it's got to be a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Are you here? All right. Now, everlasting life must therefore provide for your financial needs an extended or an everlasting.
Everlasting.
An everlasting amount of time. Well, how could it be? Well, I'm going to show you here in a second, but follow me. Everlasting life is very akin to, remember, Jesus and the miracle of the loaves and fishes.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
How much did they have? As much as they needed until they were all filled,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
What if they needed more? What would have happened? It would have kept multiplying. How about the remember the woman with the oil?
Yes.
It kept running until she ran out of containers to put it in. Where'd that oil come from? It came from the gift of the working of miracles, but it had to be a force of everlasting life. It's the same thing that happens in heaven. You understand?
Yes.
Now, what do? We always put everything off till heaven, don't we? That's what everybody does. Mm-hmm. Well, everlasting life is what you receive here and now. Mm-hmm. Are you here?
Yes.
Go to Galatians chapter 6. Let's look at verse 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. What do you think he's talking about here? Well, he would be talking about the tithe and the offering. Would that be too far of a stretch? No. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. Would you give me that? It's simply about giving and receiving.
Yes.
Financially.
Financially.
So is your Bible talking about giving and receiving financially? Yeah, right here it is. And then verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Could he possibly be talking about sowing financially? Mm-hmm. Yes, because he was just talking in verse 6 about that, to give unto him that teaches. Then he calls it, don't be deceived, that's sowing, and you shall also reap. What shall you reap? What you sowed. Read on here. For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit, mm-hmm. right, yeah. shall also of the Spirit reap what?
Everlasting life.
So here he's connecting you, say me.
Me
in my giving and my sowing to reaping what? Well, more money, because you sold money, you're going to reap more money. Well, what's the mechanism by which that money is going to manifest? Try saying that three times fast. The mechanism by which the money manifests, it says right here, shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Are you seeing the connection? There is a substance called everlasting life, which is what you reap. And it goes out into your finances, and it goes into your affairs, and it causes things to work out for your benefit. Are you here? Mm-hmm. Am I just preaching to myself? It goes out into your bank accounts. It goes out into your, say, everlasting life.
Everlasting life.
Goes out into my things. And what's it do? It causes you to reap. It multiplies what you've sown. Are you here?
Yes.
Is this any good?
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty good. Now, there's no limit to everlasting life. Is there a limit to everlasting life? God said, oh, you've already reaped enough of that. No. The limit is when you've had enough. Mm-hmm. How many scriptures do I need to take you to where it says he gives you until you've had enough? He satisfies all your needs, right? What's the limit in heaven? There's no limit there. What's the limit on earth? There's no limit there, because it's the same everlasting life that affects your finances. Say this, the same. Everlasting life
everlasting
affects
life.
My finances today. Is that any good?
Yes.
Hallelujah. What does he say you're going to reap? You're going to reap everlasting life. It's the force, it's the substance of everlasting life that goes into your affairs and causes it to multiply and do things for you. And there's no limit to it. Does this make you happy at all? There's no limit to it. Wealth by the substance of everlasting life has no limits. Did he say, he that sows to the Spirit shall reap only so much? No, he said, don't be deceived. God's not mocked. Whatever you sow is what you're going to reap. He gives that up to you. He leaves that up to you. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Giving starts the receiving cycle. Receiving of what? We go, oh yeah, well, we'll receive finances, but you're receiving everlasting life that affects your finances. I hope you're getting this. Does this any good? Mm-hmm. An everlasting life can affect your retirement account, your retirement money. Why? Because it's the same everlasting life that you're going to be living on in the future. Why does everybody put it off to the future? Because they don't understand that that's the substance they're reaping now.
Yes.
Say, I reap it now.
I reap it now.
Everlasting life.
Everlasting life.
Come to me
now
in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Now, giving starts the receiving cycle. It's why Jesus said it's more blessed to give than receive. And if you've already given, and we're going to give, and if we've already given, what have we started? The receiving cycle. What are we supposed to receive? Everlasting life from the Spirit we're receiving. And part of the power that I have as a minister is the power to bless those who partner with me and who partake of giving and receiving. So raise your hands up. And I bless you in Jesus' name. And I command the power of everlasting life to begin to affect your retirement funds, to be able to begin to affect your bank accounts, and all the situations shall begin to increase and grow exponentially. I bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
I worship you.
Glory be to God forever. You ready? Did you find it? 139 Psalms. Let's pray. Holy Ghost, I worship you. I thank you that you are God in the earth today. I thank you that we can walk in the Spirit in this world with you by speaking your words and knowing the way to go as you lead us. I worship you, Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, the Holy Ghost is God in the earth today, and you walk with him by saying words. Did you know that? So Psalms 139. Now I'm gonna make a statement that'll probably irritate a lot of people. I don't think it'll irritate you, but it will irritate a lot of people. And it's one of the reasons I guess I'm making the statement, is so that people can understand that they don't always have it straight. You know, people think they have it straight with God, but they don't always have it straight with God, right? Or would we need to learn anything? If we knew everything, why would we even need to learn anything, right?
Right.
Well, anyway, let's read this. It says, verse 2, Psalms 139, verse 2, Thou knowest my sitting down and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Is that what it says?
Yeah.
So now God understands your thought afar off. He knows you're sitting down, and you're, and really afar off means he sees them coming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God is all-knowing. He knows everything. He knows what you're gonna say. He knows what you're not gonna say. He knows you're sitting down. He knows when you're gonna sit down and when you're gonna get up. You think he knows this?
Mm-hmm.
He knows it all, because he is all-knowing. Say, God is all-knowing.
God is all-knowing.
What about the Holy Ghost? Yeah, well, he's God, so he's all-knowing.
Yeah.
Are you here?
Yeah.
Now, you don't have to turn there, but Matthew 6:8 says, the Father knows what you have need of.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Before. Say before.
Before.
Before you ask him, he already knows what you have need of. Why? Because he's all-knowing. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You understand that? God is all-knowing. He knows what's going to happen. He knows what's not going to happen. Doesn't mean that he's controlling it all. He just knows. Are you here?
Yes.
Now, here's the statement. Don't be mad at me. I'm going to show you this in the scriptures. God, even though he's all-knowing, right? He sees everything. He sees the future. He sees the past. He can look at you and see your heart. We know this, right? He's all-knowing. But he doesn't hear everything everybody says. He could, because he's God. Are you here? But he's not listening to everything people say, and he doesn't hear everything everybody says. Can you imagine that? And I'm going to get into this, because I realize we're going to need all the scriptures on this, because that automatically sounds wrong, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That automatically, well, God hears everything. I'm telling you, he doesn't. He's not going to listen to unbelief. He's not going to listen to complaining. Can you imagine? I've heard people, you probably worked in offices where you hear somebody and you don't want to. You don't want to hear what that person is saying. Sometimes people will be outside the house and they'll be saying things, and frankly, I don't want to hear it. I don't want that garbage. Say garbage.
Garbage.
Garbage coming in my ear. Now, if I'm like that, trying to maintain some righteous ears, say righteous ears.
Righteous
ears hear righteous things. They don't want to hear that garbage. God doesn't hear it. So you got people that are praying prayers of unbelief. They don't, you know, they go, oh, it didn't even get up higher than the ceiling. That's right. God didn't hear it. Mm-hmm. Now, wouldn't this be helpful to people to know what God isn't hearing? Because they're thinking, oh, I'm praying, God, help me, God. He's not hearing it. And so therefore they're praying wrong, their thinking is wrong, and they're just gonna miss it. I'm telling you, God doesn't hear everything and everybody. According to the word. Aren't you glad I'm gonna show you some scriptures on this? Let's go to John. 1 John. I mean, that would be borderline insanity. God would be going insane if he had to hear everything from everybody all the time.
Yeah.
No, he doesn't. Mm-hmm. 1 John chapter 5, let's look at verse 14. Now you're gonna believe the Bible, even though what I just said seemed like it's a little bit ludicrous. 1 John chapter 5, let's look at verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us whatsoever we ask, we know we have the petition we desire him. Well, if God heard everything that everybody prays and everybody says, are you here?
Yeah.
Then we would know that we have everything we pray and everything we ask. But according to this verse of scripture, it says, this is the faith or confidence we have in him, that if we ask or say or pray, you understand, when you're asking, you're opening your mouth, you're saying something, you're praying something, you're calling something, anything according to his will, he hears us. So if you're asking, on the opposite, if you're asking that something, saying something, calling something, confessing something that isn't according to his will, he of necessity, according to this verse of scripture, doesn't hear you. Mm-hmm. Are you here?
Mm-hmm.
Because we know that if he hears us whatsoever we ask, say, pray, call, confess, you understand that?
Yep.
I don't have time to go into all that, but we know that we have the petition, the calling, the saying, the asking, the praying.
Amen.
We have it because he heard it. What does he hear? He hears the will of God. He hears the word of God.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So when we're saying the word, when we're praying the word, we know that he hears that because his word is his will.
Mm-hmm.
And we know we have it. Does this make sense?
Mm-hmm.
1 Peter, pretty close, right? Let's go back a couple pages there. 1 Peter chapter 3, let's look at verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are over who? The righteous.
Mm-hmm.
Say the righteous.
The righteous.
The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers.
Mm-hmm.
When somebody's ears are open, what does it mean? They're listening. Who is he listening to? The prayers of the righteous.
Mm-hmm.
Say the prayers of the righteous.
The prayers of the righteous.
So his ears are open to the prayers of the righteous. Here his ears are open to those who say his will. Are you getting this?
Mm-hmm.
So what would this of necessity mean? If his ears are open to the righteous, it means they're not open to the unrighteous.
That's right.
They're like, oh God, why didn't you hear me? Why don't you get in line with the word and I will hear you?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Is this in your Bible?
Yes.
All right. Go to let's go to Psalms again. Psalms chapter 34. I could write these things and quote them, but you know, let's turn there. We'll see it in your own Bible. Psalms chapter 34, verse Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Let's look at verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, his ears are open to their cry. Who again? The righteous. The Lord's listening for the righteous. He's listening for the righteousness of faith, and his ears are open to them, which means they're not open to the ones that aren't righteous. Go to Proverbs. Give you many witnesses here. Proverbs chapter 15. Hallelujah. You there? Proverbs chapter 15, verse 29. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. Mm-hmm. Is this in your Bible?
Yes.
How many scriptures have we read so far? Plenty. There's plenty more. I hope you understand. Mm-hmm. That God, when I say that statement, God doesn't hear everything and everybody. He doesn't. He's not listening. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But he is listening. Say, he is listening.
He is listening
to the righteous, right? And those who speak the word of God, he hears it. And if we know he hears it, we know we have it. Is this any good? All right. So his ears are open to their prayers, the righteous prayers. James 5. You all right if we turn to one more? James. Chapter 5. Let's look at verse 14. James 5, 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Say the elders.
Elders.
Woo. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. For if he has committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Who's God hearing? He's hearing the righteous man, but more specifically, faith. He's hearing the faith of the righteous man.
Mm-hmm.
Are you getting this? The prayer that is of faith from a righteous person. So God hears faith. He hears the speaking of faith, because where's faith come? Faith comes by hearing the word. You're speaking in line with the word. The righteousness of faith speaks the word. Are you here? That's Romans chapter 10. The righteousness of is of which is of faith speaks. What saith it? The word.
Mm-hmm.
Righteousness and faith speaking the word. What does God hear? He hears that. And of necessity, because the Bible specifically said he hears that, he doesn't hear anything else. Is that good news? I guess, maybe, I don't know. It's not good news for people who are speaking everything else, but it's good news for the righteous man who's speaking words of righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
Is this fun yet?
Mm-hmm.
Romans chapter 8. Just trying to make my point here. God does not listen to everybody. He doesn't hear it. He's not paying attention to it. Well, I thought you said he's all knowing. Oh, he knows about it. He knows about it. He knows what you're going to say, what you're not going to say, but he listens to the righteous man and his faith. Did I tell you to turn to Romans 8?
Yes.
Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should say for or pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us or with us with groanings, that which we could not utter. And he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now I'm just going to connect these two things. Remember, when you're speaking the will of God, he hears you. Right?
Right.
What are you of necessity speaking when you're speaking in other tongues? You're speaking the words he's giving you. It has to be the will of God. God hears you when you're speaking in other tongues. Are you getting this? He that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession or speaks for the saints in accordance with the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who call according to his purpose. Mm-hmm. What's happening here when you're speaking in other tongues? You're calling according to his will. You're calling according to his purpose. What happens? Does God hear that? Yes, he not only gave you those words, he's listening to them, and he's listening for them in order to do things supernaturally for you, beyond what you can think or even think. Anyway, are you getting this?
Yes.
So it's good news that you can have the power to fulfill the said word of God in your life. It's bad news for the people who've decided not to say those things. It's good news for people. They can have the power of the said word of God in their life. I know that sounds a little funny, but you can have the power, say the power,
power.
Of the said word of God.
Mm-hmm.
The said word of God in your life, meaning you've said it, past tense, I already said it. So I can have the power of what I've said that is God's will. Are you here?
Mm-hmm.
You won't fulfill the call of God without saying the will of God. Are you getting this?
Mm-hmm.
Well, how are we going to say the will of God if we don't know? Well, we know partially what the will of God is. We know that it's his will that we prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospers, right? We know certain parts of the will of God, and we can say those things.
Mm-hmm.
But to have the specific will of God, we have to say those things, and it is by speaking in other tongues that we have those things. And he hears them, and he does them. You won't fulfill the call without doing, number one, saying, but also doing what you know to do already. Are you here? You can't fulfill the call of God without doing what you know to do already. A lot of people don't like that. A lot of people would like to just hear a new message. They don't want to have to do what they already know to do. Are you getting this?
Yes.
Do you know that you should pray in tongues?
Yes.
Yes. It is something that you know to do. Go to 1 Corinthians. So we know that if we're speaking in tongues, I hope that I got that across. When we speak in other tongues, we are speaking God's word, and we know that he hears us. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's look at verse 1 here. This is Paul. He says, "Be ye followers of me, as I also am of Christ." The word Christ is literally the anointing. So be ye followers or imitators, some translations say. Be ye imitators of me, as I am of Christ. Would that be good? A good thing to do?
Mm-hmm.
Here's Paul. We should just kind of imitate what he does.
Yep.
Say imitate.
Imitate.
Well, you imitate, you do what they do, right? Imitate what he does. Go to Philippians chapter 9. I mean, Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. Did your Bible say that? That we should be followers of Paul and imitate what he does?
Yes.
Philippians chapter 4. These are good verses. You should know them. I've gone to them often. Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me,
mm-hmm.
Paul talking here, what
do.
Well, we're supposed to be imitators or followers of Paul as he follows the anointing. Well, here it says, the things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. right? Mm-hmm. Well, what do we know Paul did? Let's go to 1 Corinthians 14. First Corinthians chapter 14, verse 18. Paul again saying, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Mm-hmm. Are you getting this? Mm-hmm. You won't fulfill the call of God without doing what you already know to do. What do we know to do? We know to follow Paul. We know that he speaks in tongues. We know that the things that we've heard and seen him do, we're supposed to do. Say do.
Do.
Do, do. We got to do. Right? And then he says, I speak in tongues. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than you all. Now, would that be a good... Why do you think we that speaking in tongues a lot... more than you all, he said here, a lot would be beneficial. It's his will, it's his word, and he hears it, and we know we have it when we do it. Mm-hmm. When we do it. You won't fulfill the call of God without doing what you already know. Now, I can understand if somebody didn't know about this. I don't know how they wouldn't know about it. I just read three verses of scripture that said you're supposed to follow Paul as he follows the anointing, and then that whatever things we see him do, we're supposed to do, and then he says he speaks in tongues more than anybody. Well, if we're going to obey those verses of scripture, what would that mean? We should be speaking in tongues a lot, right? Mm-hmm. If you pray in tongues enough, you will know the will of God. If you pray in tongues enough, you will know and have the power of God to fulfill the call of God. I hope you heard that. If you pray in tongues enough, you can know the will of God. If you pray in the Spirit, pray in other tongues enough, you can have and know the power of God to fulfill the call of God. Is this God's method? Yeah. Man, you know, you can go back to the curious thing that why the Holy Ghost had people speak in tongues when he first arrived on the scene on the day of Pentecost. Why? It was for him to enable people to speak his word freely beyond what they knew. And it had to be way beyond what they knew, especially at the beginning and even now. Are you here?
Yes.
All right. Go to Isaiah. Is it good news that you can know the will of God and then have the power of God to do it?
Yes.
Did God give you a method by which you could do it? Mm-hmm. Yes, speaking in tongues a lot. You know, and the great thing about speaking in tongues, we can do it when we're not doing anything else, and often when we are doing something else. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
Anyway, so Isaiah chapter 28. You know, I would have longed when I was first starting out as a believer in the early days if somebody would have told me these things. But I never heard them. I mean, yeah, I heard about speaking in tongues. Yeah, I heard about, you know, you knew these things. But nobody ever specifically laid it out and said that if you speak in tongues enough, you can know the will of God. And if you speak in tongues enough, you can have the power of God to do the will of God. Right?
Right.
So I'm telling you now. I hope you're enjoying this. Mm-hmm. Isaiah 28. Yes. Amen. Now remember, you won't be able to fulfill the call without doing what you already know to do. That's how it works. That's how you grow up. I know to do this. I know to put my pants on before I leave the house. Right? I mean, there's plenty of other things, you know, that you need to do, and you have to do those things if you're going to progress. You won't be able to fulfill the call without doing what you already know to do. Jesus said that more would be given to the person who already acts upon the things that he knows. Mm-hmm. Are you here?
Yes.
Isaiah 28, let's look at verse 9. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. Weaned from the milk. What does being weaned from the milk mean? They grew up to where they're not subsiding on milk anymore. Remember Hebrews said it's not for milk, but strong meat is for those who are mature. So we're growing up. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and to whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For percept must be upon precept, precept must be upon precept, and precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Does it make sense that you can't go from the past to where you need to go in the future? You need to go from where you are now. You need to go forward. I hope people are listening, that you can't just go backwards and expect to progress in the things of God. You got to go forwards. You got to build on what you already know and go forwards. Does this make sense? You won't fulfill the call of God until you do what you already know. And I don't know about you, many times there are things that we kind of let slip that we need to go back and pick up until God will take us forward again. Does this make sense? You won't fulfill the call of God until you do what you already know. Well, here we know quite a few things, don't we? Do we know anything here that maybe other people don't know? Yeah. Are we going to some place that maybe other people can't even go to? It's true. We have things that are waiting for us. Please listen. Those things are waiting for us to do what we know we need to do so that we can step into it. But we can't step into it until we do what we know we need to do. This isn't really that complex, right? So we need to do what we know we need to do so we can step into it. Right. Line upon line. Precept upon precept. We've got a precept. We know that the Holy Ghost is God in the earth today, and we walk with him by saying words. We know that he doesn't hear things unless we're saying the right words. We know that he hears us when we speak in other tongues. We know that he wants us to speak in tongues a lot. These are all things we know that we have to do line upon line upon line. And then we can go forward to the next line. 1 Corinthians. We're almost done here. Things I needed to get out and say. Ooh, 1 Corinthians. Let's look at chapter 2. First Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 6. Howbeit we speak among them that are perfect. Now the word perfect here means mature. You know that? The word perfect means mature. So we speak wisdom among them that are mature. Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to nothing, but we speak, say we speak,
we speak
the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. So we're speaking the word of God, we're speaking a mystery, and this goes on, and we'll talk about speaking in other tongues, but we're speaking these words among them that are mature unto our glory. It's God's method, but it's a hidden wisdom to who? It's a hidden wisdom to the world, it's a hidden wisdom to the carnal man, it's a hidden wisdom to babies. They don't get it, they don't want to get it. You see that? It says, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. What did God ordain? The wisdom, the hidden mystery? Yeah, but he ordained the speaking. God ordained the speaking of the wisdom unto our glory. Say the speaking, of the wisdom, unto our glory. Our glory, which means the mature person is going to see this. The baby isn't going to see it. The mature person is going to see that it's the speaking of the wisdom unto our glory. Say the speaking of the wisdom unto my glory. Takes a mature person. Did you see it takes a mature person? How about we speak the wisdom of God among them that are perfect or mature? Yet not the prince, not the wisdom of the world, nor the princes of the world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. It's a mystery to them. Even the hidden wisdom, it's hidden to them, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But verse 10, God hath revealed them things unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Are you getting this? For what man knows the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak. Who speaks it? We do. The mature people do, because they know what's going on. They know that this is how they obtain those things. Now the people that don't speak are the natural people. He even goes on to say that. Let me just read it. Verse 14, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. Now spiritually discerned means they're estimated, they're appreciated. It's like someone appreciating a fine something. Who appreciates fine things? Do children appreciate fine things? No. People that have their senses developed, their understanding of things. Let's say somebody who's a collector of fine automobiles. You know, a lot of people go, oh, that's an old car. Right? But other people be like, no, that's an Oldsmobile, you know, and they know all the stuff about it. And they know the value of it. They're appreciating it. They're developed in understanding that. It's the same thing that happens when this, what this is talking about, because they're spiritually discerned. You can spiritually estimate it. You can spiritually understand it. Who does this? The mature people, not the babies. The babies don't. They're the ones who just sit there and say, ah, the natural receives not the things of the Spirit of God. Natural, worldly, unspiritual babies. Natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. They don't see the value of continuing. They don't see the value of being where they need to be, or doing what they say, doing what they know they should do. Are you here? That's what maturity is. You do what you know to do, and then you can go on. And if you don't do what you know to do, you don't get the next thing. Mm-hmm. Are you here?
Yes.
Let me just finish this here. But he that is spiritual discerns or judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. How did we get to have the mind of Christ? Is by speaking the things. And we speak them enough until we know the mind of Christ. We speak them enough until we have the power of all things working together for good for us. That's called maturity. Go to Hebrews chapter 5 and we'll try to end with this. I mean, I've been on it at length lot last week too, but we're called to maturity. We're not called to be babies. Nobody bears fruit as a baby. You bear fruit in maturity. That's where God is calling us to go to. And you're not going to get there without doing what you know you need to do, right? And a lot of it's just basic stuff. Hebrews chapter 5. Let's look at verse 11. Did you know that? Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. Why was it hard to utter for Paul? Because he just had a stutter or something? No, it was hard for him to get across because the people were dull of hearing, right? For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again. Again means he'd already taught them that. Again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. Imagine having to teach people the first things again. Oh, you should not, you know, miss church too much. You should probably tithe. You should probably read your Bible every day. You should pray in tongues every day. You should do all of these things because you're not going to be going on without doing what you already know to do. Is it bad for me as a preacher to say these things? If I don't say them, then people will just assume that, oh, God hears me. Well, he's not hearing you. If you're not in, if you're not living the righteousness of faith, and if you're not doing what you know you need to do, then I don't know where you are. Brother. Verse 12 again. For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become as such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong in the word of what? In the word of righteousness. What is the word of righteousness? What's being strong in the word of righteousness? Is being able to say the right thing, to be able to speak into your situation the right thing. But strong meat belongs to them who are of full age. Say full age.
Full age.
Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You're discerning the good. You're discerning the spiritual thing. You're appreciating it where the babies don't. Are you getting this? Verse chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving, is this in your Bible? Because sometimes I wonder if I'm just making it up. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on. Does your Bible say, let us go on?
Yes.
What would the opposite of that mean? Let us not go on. Mm-hmm. Let everybody else keep us from going on. Are we going to do that? No, we're going to let us go on unto perfection or unto maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God and of doctrine of baptisms, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, of eternal judgment. And this we will do. Mm-hmm. You have to have a willingness to do it. You have to have a willingness to go on and leave behind the things that are not going on. Mm-hmm. Sometimes as people. Did you know that? Mm-hmm. Am I making this up? I think I talked about that a little bit last week. Sometimes people are the ones you have to leave behind. Remember Jesus said cutting off the right hand. Mm-hmm. He wasn't telling people, Christians, to cut off their right hand in the natural, right?
Right.
You have to cut off the things because there are things that hold you back from going on, and that's what I believe he's talking about here. Anyway, this we will do if God permit, for it's impossible for those, talking about people who were once enlightened, have tasted the heavenly gift, were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. I find it interesting here, and I always like to bring this out, that he connects the Holy Ghost and the Word of God and the powers of the world to come. Mm-hmm. What are we going on to? The Holy Ghost, the Word of God, and the powers of the world to come. What's one of the main powers of the world to come? I've been preaching on it an awful lot recently. Youth renewal, everlasting life. Everlasting life is a power of the world to come. It will affect your finances. Everlasting life is a power of the world to come. It will affect your physical body, causing you to have youth renewal. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. Where do we get this? The Holy Ghost, the Word of God, and the powers of the world to come. Say this: Holy Ghost,
Holy Ghost.
I receive you.
I receive
your words.
I speak your words.
And I receive
the
powers of the world to come. Everlasting life, invigorating me, renewing me, filling my finances, and quickening me according to the will of God and according to the Word of God right now in Jesus' name. Amen.